13, and John chapter 13. I actually preached from this last night in regards to the Christ and set an example of washing His disciples' feet. And we're not talking about that again tonight, but a little bit later on in John chapter 13, I want to look at a couple of verses there and what Christ said. And we have, three main thoughts from that. John 13 and verse 34 and verse 35. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." I want to take a look at that. At those verses tonight. Father, we ask for your help, Lord, this evening. It's been a great joy to stand and to be able to preach your word. It's been a joy to sit and to listen to your word. I pray, Lord, that now that you would help us with this final message that you have for us, for your people tonight. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, through these messages that the church here has been encouraged, Lord, to truly walk in love. To truly love you, to love one another, and to love others. And Father, I pray that you'd help us with this passage and the things you have for us to bring. And I pray that the church here would be encouraged in the love of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. As believers, I believe very easily we understand and know the importance of love in the Word of God. The very first two commandments are what? To love God and to love our neighbor. Paul said that we are taught of God to love one another. We are told to follow after charity. We are told to put on charity. We are told to increase and abound in love. To love with sincerity. To be unified in love. To be fervent in love. To provoke one another to love. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. And Paul says that without charity or love, we are nothing. The Word of God says that God is love. So, definitely an emphasis on love throughout the Word of God. Now, we've considered this already for a moment, and we'll just mention it in passing, but, you know, the world perverts the meaning of love. We know that to be true. The religious world sometimes implores Christians to deny truth in the name of love. But we've seen in the first night that truth and love go together. But just because we see this perversion of love and this denying of truth, supposedly, in the name of love, this does not mean that we should be discouraged from loving one another the way the Lord Jesus Christ has taught us. I mentioned this a couple nights ago in discussion, but I had already decided, our church, usually we have I've been picking a theme each year at our church, and this year's theme was just love one another. And so what I do is on our screen we have up before church, I usually pick a quote of the week, and I have a verse that I have for us all year up there. And that's just kind of our theme, you know, for the year. Love one another. I think last year was faithfulness, the year before that forgiveness, and things like that. Our family was last year, and in forgiveness and faithfulness. And so for the whole year, it's kind of our theme, and I might preach a few messages on those things, and then then just have a good quote up there each week. Well, I'd already decided, you know, to pick that this year, love one another, and then it's like that next week I seen a video of the Pope and how in the name of love he was bringing all religions together. And it's a minute and a half long. You should look it up and watch what he does there. But after I already decided to do that on love, I seen that video, and it was all about believing in love, and all these religions coming together, and I was like, oh man, you know, it almost wanted me to respond on the opposite side, you see, and overcorrect from one ditch over in the other. But you know, we can't do that because you know what? As Baptists, we've been notorious to do that on all kinds of issues. So let's not do it on the subject of love. Love one another. Even when the world perverts it, misuses it, misapplies it, love one another. You won't go wrong loving the way Christ has taught us to love. We should desire to grow in our love of God and of one another. And I pray the Lord will help us this evening to see that we can always grow and increase in love more and more as Paul encouraged the churches. And may the pure, sincere love of Christ flow through each of us. And as members here, may you truly love one another with a fervent, sincere love of God. I want to notice three things about our passage here in John 13. Three main thoughts. First of all, we want to state this, that love is a commandment. Love is a commandment. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. It is a commandment. It's not an option. It's not a choice. And then first, we'll look at a few verses there in 1 John. We've already looked at some of these this week, but we need to look at them again for the sake of this message. 1 John 3. Turn there if you would please. And we'll look at verse 11. 1 John 3 and verse 11 says this, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Verse 23, he says, "And this is His commandment, that you should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ." You know, that's a commandment. God commands you to believe. God commands people to repent. And then He says, "And love one another as He gave us commandments." See, commandment is, or love is a commandment. 2 John and verse 5 says this, "And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto you, but that which you have had from the beginning, that we love one another." You see, love is a commandment. When we do not love one another, we are actually disobeying the Lord. We're living in disobedience when we don't love. Loving one another, and here's the thing, as we think, well, yeah, I love them. I love God's people. Love is more than a feeling. Love is action. And so it's real easy for us to, sometimes I think we can just kind of pass this off and say, well, yeah, wow, I love God's people. I love people here. I love other people. And then we just pass it off. But love is action. Love is a commandment. Love is something you do. It's something you do. It means to love with word and in deed. Look what he says there in 1 John. You're right there real close. But in 1 John 3, and verse 18, what does he say here? He says this, "My little children, let us not love in word." I mean, you can talk a big game, right? Oh, I love God's people. I just love God's people. But he says, "Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but how? But in deed and in truth." So this love, it is a commandment. It's something that you do. And it does have boundaries. You love in accordance to truth. So you don't deny truth in order to love. Okay? And so we already looked at that the first night. But we love in deed. You know, the word charity is a word that speaks of action, not feeling. And so when we have a commandment to love one another, that means show your love, do something. Love one another. Do for one another. Now, as we begin to think about this, loving one another, sometimes it's real easy, like it is with everything else. We approach it and we think about other people and how that they don't love. That church over there or that group over there, yeah, they have this, but they don't love and so forth. And many people leave churches because nobody showed love. And that can happen, and sometimes that can be legitimate. I mean, some churches may not have much love at all, and people see that. Tonight I want you to... for it to be between you and the Lord. Just you and God. Do you show love to God's people? Or are you the person that is always wanting to be served, wanting to be loved? There's nothing wrong with wanting to be loved, right? I think all of us want and crave love. But do we desire to show love? Ask one another, do you love one another? And I love where it says, love one another. See, there's singular action there as well. You know, we can think in broad terms, can't we? We can think, oh, I love God's people. I love God's people. But what if, and I challenged our church on this, but I didn't make them do it, but I act like I almost wanted to do it. But anyhow, if I could get up any two people in the church and make you stand up and ask you the question, do you love one another? And have two other people stand up, do you love one another? I don't know how that would go. It'd probably take me a while, but it at least made them think. Made them think. And so think about various individuals in this church. I'm really trying to apply this tonight right here. Right here. Do you love this one? Do you love that one? Do you love that one? Do you love one another? You know, sometimes it's easy for us to sit back and say, you know, other people aren't very loving and be blinded by our own lack of love. And it's like everything else. Sometimes it's easier to see how other people don't love than it is to see how that we ourselves do not love. I like what one writer said. Most often people who say that others have no love are themselves the ones most lacking. I've been in ministry long enough to see that true. It seems like the ones that complain the most about people not being loving are the ones that showed the love the least. They think, he went on to say, they think the new commandment says, love me or I'll destroy you and your church. They sit around waiting for other people to love them. How easy it is to see the speck of lovelessness in another's eye, but miss the log of self-centeredness, hypocrisy, and anger in your own eye. See, those are the opposite of love. Hypocrisy, self-centeredness. To love one another is a command. For ourselves to go and obey the Word of the Lord. It's not an option we choose when others have loved us enough. That's not what it says. It does not say, when other people love you, love one another. No, it just says, love one another. It's not an option. It's not a command. It says, love others after they've loved you. Now, because it is a command, when we love one another, we are also, because it's a command from the Lord, when we are actively loving one another, when we love one another, we are showing our love for God. I think sometimes we miss that. There will be times when you are challenged to love one another, because let's face it, we're not always so lovable. We're not always so lovable, but we love one another because God loves us and we love God. And sometimes the person you're trying to love may be hard to love, but you love them because you love the Lord. And the Lord has called you to love them. And so one thing that can help us to show love to one another is to do it because we want to love the Lord in our life. So to help us to be charitable to one another, you don't look to find something worthy in other people so that you can love them. You keep your focus on Christ and love because of Christ. And you love the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us, we know clearly in John 14:15, He says, if you love Me, what? Keep My what? My commandments. And then He also says, this is My commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So, we see, we have a commandment from the Lord Jesus to love one another. And He says, if you love Me, keep My commandments. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, love one another. Now, I'm very interesting. I've seen this video some time ago, and I think about it all the time. I've used it several times. Maybe some of you have seen it. I think I put it on my Facebook page one time, some time ago. But this dad obviously comes to his young daughter, and she's laying on the couch, and just kind of, I think she's got headphones in or something or other, and she's laying there on the couch, and he says, honey, I told you to clean your room 3 days ago. I told you to clean your room 3 days ago. She said, yeah, I know. And she said, I really appreciate you telling me that. He said, okay. And she said, you know, I really appreciate that, Dad. She said, after you told me that, she said, I got a few people together. We had a little study, and we talked about the benefits of cleaning your room. And he said, okay. And then we did a little survey paper, and we found out, we did some things on how to remove clutter from your room. She said, man, it was really, really good. We had such a good study together looking at these things. And she said, I just want you to know that I really appreciate it. He said, okay. I mean, her room's a wreck, you know. And he said, okay. And he says, well, I'm glad you're doing that. And he's kind of puzzled and he walks away. And as she's walking away, she said, I love you, Daddy. And it was a very powerful little video, but it proved a good point. We can talk about it all we want. We can study about it all we want. But just sitting here tonight and sitting there and taking us in, that's not going to do it. That's not it. It's going doing something about it. She wasn't loving him because she was willing to study about what that word means and how to do it. She would have loved him if she just got up and done it. And that's what we got to do. We just have to do it. We have to do it. Let us not love in word only, but in deed and in truth. When it comes to being obedient to the commands of Christ, we are not permitted to wait around until we feel like loving one another. We are to go, obey Christ, and love each other. Loving one another is evidence that we love and know Christ. We see that in 1 John 2 and verse 3 and 5, where he says this, and hereby we do know that we know Him. How? If we keep His commandments. It's an evidence. It's not that we keep His commandments so we can know Him, but we know that we do know Him and we keep His commandments. That's different. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, what is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5, but whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. Now, sometimes we may think, well, other people don't have genuine love because maybe they don't believe one or two truths we believe. However, if we don't love one another, then the truth as a whole is not in us. And that's what he says. If we don't love, the truth isn't in us. So make sure that we're holding both high, truth and love, as we said the first night. If we don't love, we don't know Christ. And He, who is truth, is not in us. Now, second thought tonight from John 13, the example of love. So we have the commandment of love, now the example of love. Jesus said in John 13, 34, a new commandment I give unto you. Now, first, when I remember for years, I would look at this, and honestly, just till recently, I didn't really think about it all that much. I would just, every time I would read it, I just think, that just sounds kind of odd to me. A new commandment. And I just never really put much thought into it. A new commandment I give unto you. Why does He say a new commandment? Now, is it a new commandment to love one another? Is it a new commandment, a new testament to love one another? It's not. In Leviticus, we are told in 19:18, love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus, in reference to that commandment, in Matthew 22:39, calls it the second of all commandments. So loving one another is not a New Testament doctrine. Loving one another is not a new commandment. So, well, what's he saying? Jesus said it was. But why does Jesus say, a new commandment give I unto you? It's new because of the example we look to in order to teach us how to love. That's how it's new. Jesus said what? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's what makes it new. Jesus Christ is on the scene. He's new to the scene, if you would, in His earthly ministry. He came down and He's in the flesh and He lived and He loved. And we see that love. That's how it's new. The old commandment also was to love others. Do you remember? How? As thyself. This is a new commandment. It's new because we're not called upon here to love as ourselves, but to love as Christ loved us. And that's good because you know what? Christ can love us even in a such deeper, more meaningful way than we could ever love ourselves. This love others as ourself appealed to our sense of self-interest, self-preservation, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It looked very inwardly to see how we might be able to show love to others. What Jesus said that was new, as said, was a love as He loved us. The golden rule of doing unto others as you would have them do unto you is still a good rule. But the love of Christ for us and the way He showed it goes further than anything anyone could ever do for us or that we could even do for them. Christ sets the highest example of love for us to follow. That's why it's new. It's that we are loving like He loved us. And listen, unless you know the love of Christ, you can't love like Christ. 1 John 4 and verse 9 says, "And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us." Why? I've often wondered, why is that right there? Why in the middle of this love right here? Why in the middle of talking about God's love for us, us loving one another, why in the world do we have this statement, "No man has seen God at any time"? Doesn't that kind of jump out? Don't you find that kind of odd right where it's placed? Really? When you read that, does that just kind of like, well, where'd that come from? Well, he says after that, if we love one another, God what? Dwelleth in us. This is how people see God. No man has seen God at any time, but people see God in us by our love to one another. I like to see God in other people. I like to see Christ at work in His people. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Now, what do we think about in regard tonight to the way that Christ loved us? What are some of the words we could use to describe His love? We use the word unconditional sometimes. Steadfast and sacrificial would be a good start. But every time we open the Scriptures and we see how Christ showed His love for us and for His disciples, we are taught and instructed how to love one another. Now, we know John 3:16 very well, don't we? We know, "For God so loved the world," right, "that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." I love 1 John 3:16 as well. It's a great parallel when He says what? He says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God." Perceive, it's how we see God's love. How? Because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. This is how people see the cross. Not the only way, but it is a way that people see the cross of Christ, is through God's people exercising the love of Christ to one another. When people come in here and they get to know you, they should see Christ. But notice what He goes on to talk about. The very next verse there, verse 17 of 1 John 3, the very next thing He says is what? But, "Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" I tell you what, when people see God's people taking care of one another and helping other people as well, it shows the love of God. And that's talking about physical needs. I mean, that God's people, we should be helping one another. "But whoso hath this world's good," that's talking about physical necessities, things of this world that we need to survive. You see your brother have need, and you just shut up your bowels of compassion, and you just say, "I'm not helping." How does he have the love of God? How does he have it? He doesn't. That's the point he's making. One author said, he said, "Christians have no excuse for not loving, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. We do not have to manufacture love. We only have to share the love we have been given. We do not have to be humanly taught to love, because we ourselves are taught by God to love one another. So do you know the love of Christ this morning? As you look deeper into Christ's love, see the example He has set for you. And if you know His love, His example of love, then give that love to one another. That starts in our home, our family, our friends, our church, and those outside as well. And then the third final thought from John 13 that Christ bears out here. Our third thought is the proof of discipleship. The proof of discipleship. A new commandment. There's a commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you. There's the example. And then verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Jesus said that when we love one another, that all men will know that we are His followers, that we have learned of Him. A disciple was one that had learned from Christ, been discipled by Jesus, taught by Jesus. Meaning that we give evidence that we are followers and learners of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to turn back there and read all of those verses, but we read some of those, I think it was this morning. Some of my own messages are running together in my own thoughts. So I'm not for sure when exactly I read those. But in 1 John 4 and verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. It's very interesting to me that when you talk on the subject of love, you're going to use the book of 1 John a whole lot. A whole lot. There's two main reasons for that. One reason is the book of 1 John was written to give assurance to God's people. He says that in the latter part of the chapter 5. He says, Beloved, I've written these things unto you that believe, so already believers, that you may know you have eternal life. It's to build assurance. Why? Because He talks about the Spirit of God being within us, and we know we pass from death unto life if we love the brethren. So if we love one another with a spiritual love, it's a sign of being born of the Spirit. That's one of the reasons. It's there, but also I think from a perspective from John himself. The Lord used him to pen this, and I think for a reason. John that wrote this is the same one, I think, that refers to himself five times in the book of John as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, why does John say that throughout the book of John? Is it because Jesus didn't love the other guys? No. No, man, he abided in Christ's love. He felt it was real to him. And it's very interesting to me, he's the one. And first, they write John here and writes so much about love. John knew the love of Christ deeper and more intimately, possibly, than others. At least he expresses it. Jesus talks in John 15 about abiding in His love. Jesus does not love any of us, I don't think, any more than the other. But do some of God's people know God's love more deeper and more intimately? Yes, they do. I may love all of my children the same. And you should love all of your children the same. Even though they're all different, you love them all the same. But you know what? They don't always abide in that love. The love is still there, no matter what. But it's different. And you know what I'm talking about as a parent. And we as God's people do the same. We don't always walk in obedience to the Savior. We don't always enjoy His love, His fellowship. But when we do this and remain under the feet of Christ's fellowship, we are able then to show love more unto others, and thus revealing that we are indeed followers of Jesus Christ. This is very vital in our witness to give authenticity to our message. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. I mean, what good is the message if people don't know that the message is from God? And they won't know the message is from God if they don't think you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. And they won't think you're a disciple of Jesus Christ if you don't love one another. It gives authenticity to the message we take. It gives power. It makes it real. If the gospel cannot reconcile and give us love for each other, how can it reconcile others to God? I like what one writer said. He said, part of our evangelistic activity has to do with the way we relate to each other as believers. Jesus said, "By this all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another." He goes on to say, "If you are not expressing proper Christian love to every member of your church, you are in disobedience to God and you are hindering the evangelistic work of your church." And that's true. You know, when a pastor goes to, when a person visits a church and the pastor is preaching the gospel and at the same time, these people may sense a great division in the church and bickering and fighting. It's like, woo, man. That message don't even make them right with each other. I don't know how that message is going to make me right with God. See, it gives power, authenticity. The love of God is real. And the love of God is real. When people come in here and into this church and see a people loving one another like Jesus Christ loves them, then that proves that we are followers and gives verification to the gospel that we are presenting. And when the gospel of Christ is real and living through us, we will love one another. May God help us to show the love of God. So I want people to see the love of God, but we don't realize. And we say that, and we think, well, I just want them to see Jesus on the cross. I want them to see Jesus on the cross, His sacrifice on the cross. And that's part of it. That is it, yes. But the Word of God also teaches that people see the love of God by your sacrifice for one another because you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And they say, why do you do that? Why do you love each other? Why do you do that for each other? Why do you sacrifice? What do you give? Why do you do that? And say, well, let me tell you why. It's what Jesus Christ did for me. That's why I do it for them. He loves me. I love Him. Therefore, you see, it works perfectly. You want people to say, I want people to see the love of God. You go out there and you give yourself. You sacrifice for one another, but don't keep the love in these four walls. Say, I want people to see the love of God. Well, you're going to have to get it outside of these walls. If you really want people to see it with these eyes, you're going to have to get out there. You have to love other people. Help other people. Minister to other people. And they're going to ask you, why are you doing this? Why are you here? I didn't do anything for you. Why are you doing this kindness? And you say, let me tell you why. Christ loves me. And I want to love you and show you that love. And you point them to the cross of Calvary and their need of a Savior. That's what God uses that. May God help us to do that. Me and myself too, more and more and more. Let's pray. Father, use the message tonight, Lord, for Your honor and for Your glory, and help us to love one another and to go out there and to love others and show the compassion of Christ and that they might see Jesus in us. Lord, we know that the only reason we love You is because You first loved us. And so help us, Lord, to show that love unto others in our life. And I pray for any here this evening that do not know You. Maybe they, Lord, have seen the love of God in this place for years. I pray, Lord, that no longer will they simply see the love of God, but they will know the love of Christ. And they will look to Calvary and see the greatest manifestation of love there's ever been. And may they behold the Lamb of God that takes away our sins. Draw them to Yourself. Draw them in loving kindness and cords of mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. I appreciate getting to preach this week. And may God bless you very much. Brother Wayne, you come ahead, please.